Amen. Well, let's sing 273, I'll See You in the Rapture. You can remain seated if you wish. Jesus, we just thank you that we will see you in the rapture some sweet day, Lord. It's absolutely guaranteed by the Lord God Almighty, and it will happen. Thank you, Lord, that you've included us in your collection of sons and daughters, and we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for being with us on this day. And also this afternoon, Lord, just help us to understand what is offered and just bless the people that listen in wherever they are. Uplift them and love them, Lord, as we know that you do. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen and amen. Let's sing In These the Closing Days of Time, 275. In these Thank you. something we can look forward to. I know it's true. I know it. We'll have testimonies soon, but shall we just sing 381, They Were Gathered in the Upper Chamber. Let's let the fire fall is the chorus. Let the fire fall. But they were gathered in the upper chamber as commanded by the risen Lord. And the promise of the Father in the altar one accord, when the Holy Ghost appeared. have a testimony anyone would like to share? Sister Pauline.
Actually a couple of testimonies. Firstly, I thank the Lord. I prayed for a quick sale of our old caravan and it sold very quickly, and the person we sold it to, we had agreed to take it as far as Mahia for them. They were from further south, and on Thursday when we were towing the caravan out, I was going along the Murawai Strait, I was driving and I felt this real bang and I got an awful fright and wondered what it was, and as I looked in the rear vision mirror I saw this thing bouncing on the other side of the road, and I said to Paul, I think the gas bottle just fell out. And so we turned around and had a look, and the well where the spare gas bottle was sitting had fallen through, and it had gone right through the bottom of the front part of the caravan and bounced, gone under the caravan, took out a couple of things. But I just thank God that gas tank was quite beat up and there was no cars coming, so it didn't hit anyone coming along the other side of the road where it bounced. We found it, it didn't explode, it was full of gas, and when we took it to the gas shop, the man just says, oh, I'll take that out of my shop now, and he had trouble degassing it. We left it with him, and he said if it had been a newer bottle, it probably would have exploded. He said, it's just a miracle, and I thank God for looking after us.
Yeah, very grateful for those situations. Thank you, Lord. Any others? Sister June.
Well, I'm very thankful to the Lord that he allowed Tom and Grace to come and be with us for a while. Never long enough, but I just thank the Lord. I also thank him for taking us safely to and from Lotton Point. It's not my favourite road, but it's a bit like Greece up there. But the other thing was, on the second day, on the first full day there, Howard was bringing his boat in, and Tom was driving the Falcon with the trailer back down the ramp there at Lotton Point. And he said, I said, do you want me to guide you? Yes, please, he said, make sure the wheel stays on the ramp. And so I was sort of doing that, and I thought, oh, I'm a bit, not very confident about this. So I said, I'll get Dad, and he can guide you, and I'll hold the boat. Well, I wasn't thinking in my willingness to help out, I just went hurrying down the ramp in my jandals and did not realise that the end of it was slippery, sort of muddy stuff, I don't know what it was. And I went, my feet went from under me, and I came down on, I'm not sure, I think it was my, I know it was my right side, but they said I sort of turned to my back. It was sort of a bit of a blur because I was sort of shocked. And I called out, Jesus. And I thought, well, he was there, because I praise the Lord that I didn't hit my head on a rock, because they have got rocks along the side of the ramp. And that I believe it was the hand of the Lord. And anyway, when I got up, I was feeling a bit funny and like sick. And then when I got up to the grass, I had to sit down. I felt myself fading out. And Grace prayed for me, and I think Howard might have prayed too, and the Lord brought me around. And I really thank the Lord that it wasn't a serious accident. I was able to get up and proceed with things. But even I went to John on Thursday, and he said, oh, he said, it's just amazing that you didn't, it's just as well you didn't hit a rock or hit your head, he said. And I said, well, it was just the Lord, John, you know, and I knew it was. He agreed, I think. But I just really praise the Lord for watching over me.
That new ramp, it's very nice, but you've got to be careful. But was it on the algae, the green stuff at the bottom that you slipped? Yeah. It's there in a moment, that stuff. Yeah. No, well, thank you, Lord, anyway, whatever the circumstances. Any others? Sister Diane?
Just thank the Lord for the safe arrival of two great-granddaughters. Naomi's baby, as you know, came a month early, and she's still very tiny. She came home yesterday. Her name's Moana. And so she's at home, but she's very, very tiny. She's only 5.5 pounds now. And Ruth, who was going to be induced and everything, she's the one that has the polycystic kidneys. And she is full term and went into natural labour and had the baby normally, and very healthy-sized baby called Isabel Annie. And she came home within 24 hours of the delivery. I just thank the Lord because he cares for our kids. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Cares for ours too, and me and you. We thank him for all things. Any others? Okay. Thanks, Brother Paul. Well, let's just sing one more. 3, 4, 6. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for Lee. Shall we stand as we sing, and then Brother Howard will come.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Works in ways we cannot see. Will break a way for me. He will be my God.
Acts chapter 24, 24 to 25. For those listening, we apologise for the cutout on the transmission this morning, but it was beyond our control. Hopefully it won't happen today. It's afternoon. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, for I have a convenient season. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And then Acts 26, verse 19 to 29. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judah, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, O most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We just pray, Lord, you'll speak to us through your precious word, Lord. May it live in our hearts. May we leave this place with bread from heaven. Something that will sustain us during this coming week, Lord, and not further on. We pray you'll bless each one here and those joining with us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take our verse, text from verse 28. Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. One day too late. Again. One day too late. So these sisters were inspired to sing that. It's just tying in with everything. And they were very close to finding the Lord. But they didn't. They didn't find the Lord. The story of Agrippa is a lesson to all believers. Or should I say to so-called believers. The Bible warns many will come close to Christ, but not close enough. And the first thing we notice is that King Agrippa could understand and believe Paul's word. He understood it. He wasn't ignorant in the things of God. And the Bible says King Agrippa believed the prophets. In verse 27, you'll see that. But James 1:8 says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Terrible thing to be double-minded. Everything goes wrong in your life because you're double-minded. In James 4:17, we read the following. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. We must be sure and convinced and fully persuaded in what we believe. Not half-hearted. Agrippa's own words condemned him. Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Christ has offered every person eternal life, but dying for their sins, he died for the sins, not just for me or you, but for the whole world. In 1 John 2:2, we'll confirm that, which says, And he is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is a free gift as it was to Agrippa. The same promise that we have was given to Agrippa. But any gift, as we said last weekend, in Tokomara Bay, must be received. And knowing and understanding the way of salvation is not enough. We must actively receive this free gift. Now, Jesus will never, ever force himself on anyone. Not on you, not on me, or any other person. In our church age of Laodicea, we read in Revelation 3, verse 20, it says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Didn't come crashing through. He's knocking. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me." You know the story of that painting? The painter, great famous painting of the Lord knocking on the heart's door and went through the critics. Very high level artistry. And the judges said, "It was a lovely painting, but sorry to say, you forgot to put a handle on the door." He said, "No, judges, I didn't put a handle on the door because the handle of the heart's door can be only opened from the inside." Just like we're saying this morning, rend your hearts, not your garments. And Felix, the Roman governor, our other character, wasn't just saying, "Oh, I wish this guy would get on with it," finishes what he's saying. Oh. The Bible says he trembled at the word. He started to shake. He did. His knees started to knock together. He was really shaken up. So he understood the word of the Lord. Many people are like him. Come to a service, tremble at the word preached, and that's all. That's all it comes to. They tremble. The Bible says that the devil trembles at the word of at God's word. But Felix put off the call of God. Now this is an amazing statement. He said to Paul, he's shaking like this, at what he said about judgment to come. "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Lost it. He turned down his opportunity. He said, "Now you go away, Paul, and I'm going to think about this. I'll get you back another time." But he never did. You've got to move when God moves. You've got to do something about it when God's calling. He failed to understand that you can only come to God when he calls you. As the Bible says in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except," one exception, "the Father which hath sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." So it takes God to draw you. And if God is drawing you, you need to come. Don't put it off and for some convenient season when you get married or when you finish building your house or whatever. Can't do that. You've got to come when God calls. He also failed to understand it was God giving him an opportunity. It says in Romans 2:4, "But despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." You cannot repent until God gives you grace to do so. It's powerful. People say, "Oh, I'll come and repent." No, you can't. You've got to put it in the heart first. When he puts it in the heart, Peter, you have a desire to repent because God gives it to you. I've got to be careful when I say Peter around here. We've got two Peters now. Who's the real Peter? Oh, you've got to be quick, Peter. Gary. He put his hand up. No, I know you both love the Lord. So he also failed. That God gave him to see that God gave him the opportunity, and he said, "Oh, when I have a convenient season, when I'm feeling a bit more up to it, when I go to a convention, then I'll seek God." You cannot. You've got to come if he calls you at night. If you're walking down the street, you feel the call of God, you've got to respond to him then. Maybe Felix was afraid of losing his position in life, but lost forever his chance for God's eternal life. What will be your latter end is the question. What will be your latter end? After spending half of our life procrastinating. Can't make up our minds. Sister Anna, that's what it means, procrastinating. Oh, shall I not? Yeah. To accept all of God. What will be your latter end is the question. Let us ask ourselves these questions. Are we merely a professor and not a possessor of the faith of Christ? Like we said, we can do all the right things on the outside, go to church and all that. But what about the inside? What's your heart doing? What's your heart saying? What are you thinking about all the time? Are you a respectable attendant at church? Oh yes, getting all the ticks. And you go because others go, but not because your heart is right with God? What will be your latter end? Charles Spurgeon said once, concerning what we've just said, is this your beginning? I will suppose that for the next 10 years, you'll be spared to go on as you do now, professing religion by an outward attendance upon the means of grace, but having no heart in the matter. This is amazing. This is what's in connection with this morning. Believe it or not, I never saw the connection at the time. Tread softly, he says, for I must show you the deathbed of such a one. Let us gaze upon him gently. A clammy sweat is on his brow, and he wakes up crying, "Oh God, it is hard to die. Did you send for my minister?" "Yes, he's coming." The minister comes. "Sir, I feel that I am dying. Have you any hope?" "I cannot say that I have. I fear to stand before God. Oh, pray for me." See, always people wanted the preacher to pray. He should have done his own praying a long time ago. He goes on, "The prayer is offered before him with sincere earnestness, and the way of salvation is for the 10,000th time put before him." So he'd been in church a lot, heard a lot of sermons. "Yeah, that's true. It's all true, brother. But before he has grasped the rope, I see him sink. I may put my finger upon those cold eyelids, for they will never see anything here again. And where is the man? And where is the man's true eyes, as it is written? In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." Why did he not lift up his eyes before? Because he was so accustomed to hearing the gospel that his soul slept under it. You can hear it until you just sleep in it. We know that, yeah. And you're sleeping. Brother Spurgeon continues, "Alas, if you should lift up your eyes there, how bitter will be your wailings. Let the Saviour's own words reveal the woe. Father Abraham's, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." There is a frightful meaning in those words. May you never have to spell it out in your latter end. Now's the time. Don't be one day too late. You don't know when you're going to go. None of you do. Maybe this afternoon. Who knows? We don't know. So we've got to be ready. Lot's wife is another example. We know this. She received the angel messengers into her house. She listened and believed their word. Remember, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, you can read that. She no doubt trembled as well. Followed her family to church. Came out of Sodom, the world, with her family. Many do that. They just follow the rest. She came out of Sodom But Sodom had not come out of her. You see, brothers and sisters, you've got to answer these questions. You do, no one else, not your wife, your husband, your children. Where is Sodom? Is it still in your heart? You're still hankering after it? Young people have followed their parents out of worldly living, but inside they look back. In Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So many Christians are fully persuaded, stand between two opinions, double-mindedness. Then we look at Israel coming out of Egypt. They all heard the word of the prophet Moses. They all saw the miracles and danced and rejoiced. Came out of Egypt, but Egypt had not come out of them. You know why? Halfway on the journey, they said, let's go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. Can you believe that? How can that be? Go back to the taskmasters of Egypt with whips. Something wrong. They were not fully persuaded of their deliverance, and so it is today. Brother and sister, we all need the Holy Ghost. Who believes that?
Amen.
To burn Egypt, the world, out of us before it destroys us. They saw, they heard, they followed. They were almost persuaded. And then Luke 8:13-14. And they that are on the rock, are they which they have heard and they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, yeah, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. That's just really terrible. Got to go all the way. Who wants to go all the way?
Amen.
You want to be in that rapture? You go all the way. The rich young ruler is a classic. We've preached on it many times. Clean, upright on the outside. Garments. The garments. Clean and upright on the outside. Kept the Ten Commandments from his youth. Came with sincere question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? When Jesus gave him his answer, he said, he was sad. He gave him the answer what he needs to do. Sell all he had and give it to the poor. And follow him. My, how close he came to receiving eternal life. And Jesus loved him. He was almost persuaded, but he was lost to be that close to Jesus. If I could just see Jesus, if I could just stand next to him, it doesn't mean you will. You're really close to the Lord, but what are you doing with his word? You must do what he's asked you to do. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. He counted the riches and the positions of this world too great, and he missed his opportunity. We cannot go any further without mentioning Esau. He was not fully persuaded. He was born of the same father and mother as Jacob. Doesn't matter what house you're born into. The spiritual blessing was in his lap, as it was. And by birth, born into a patriarch family, he couldn't miss it, as it were. But he was not fully persuaded. He carelessly let his birthright slip away for him. Many young person born into a Christian family, or a message family, we could say, but not into Christ. They presume they will automatically be bride and in the rapture. But it was a very bitter pill for Esau to swallow. After having the blessed opportunity to receive the spiritual birthright, it was coming to him. He couldn't miss it. It was coming to him. As Hebrews 12, 16 and 17 say, lest there be any fornicator or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, one sandwich, sold his birthright, sold it. For you know that afterward he would have inherited the blessings. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He lost his opportunity. Like Felix and King Agrippa, they lost their opportunity. They felt the shaking, but they didn't have the repentance. Let me say this, my brother and sister. It's going to get harder and harder. You've got to get it now. You haven't got time to be not fully persuaded. Jesus says, when he returns, will he find faith? The foolish virgins are an evidence that many will be almost persuaded. Why not today say, Lord, I am persuaded. I must go all the way with you. Who wants to go all the way with the Lord? Raise your hand. Say, Lord, I want to go all the way with you. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:15 says. We go to Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. He, Abraham, staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The Lord has promised to save you. Who thinks that's wonderful? Amen. The Lord has promised to save you, Brother Peters. And he's able to do it. Isn't that wonderful? He gives a promise and he can keep it. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Each person has to make up their own stand for God. It's going to get harder and harder to the end, as we said. In Luke 13:23, these are the words of our Lord. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Isn't that amazing? I wonder why. They want to get in, but they don't get in. When once the master of the house has risen up and the shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, Lord, we've eaten, we've drunk in thy presence, we've been in the meetings, we've heard the good preachers, thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, and the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. Notice the thrust out. Notice the thrust out. They were there and then they got kicked out. People get very close. The man at the wedding supper sitting at the table was taken out and bound hand and foot. Be fully persuaded that you mean this, that you really want it. You're not just going to be an outward thing. It's going to be from your heart. The Bible says in Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. He'll try, but if you keep turning him down, well, that's the way they want it. I'll have to go elsewhere. That's serious, brother, sister. The foolish virgins are an evidence that many will almost be persuaded. Why not today say, Lord, I'm persuaded that you are the only way. Who believes he's the only way? Lord, I'm coming to you fully persuaded. Time is fast running out. This generation will see the coming of the Lord. I believe that. We may see it this week. I don't know. It's that close. Could easily happen. You say, Lord, I am fully persuaded that you're coming for a fully persuaded people. I am fully persuaded, and I want to be filled with your Spirit. It's got to get down to desperation level. The kingdom of God is taken by force. Say, oh, I'll come to church this week. No, no. You're poorly persuaded. You've got to press in yourself. It's got to be you and God alone. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you'll quicken the word that was spoken from your word to our hearts. May it live in our hearts. May we seriously take inventory and take it on board, Lord. We commit this to you, Lord, knowing that the time is so short. Time is running out. But, Lord, we want to be there. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart today. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please have your way, Lord. And everyone here and those joining with us, we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
I know. For you, whatever need you have, as we sing this next verse. I know how I
thank you.
Lord Jesus, we just say thank you for letting us know about the plan of God. It's actually not a choice if we want to go to heaven. It's not a choice. We have to follow what Jesus said. And the word is written in the Bible. King James Version is what Brother Branham suggested is the Bible we should use. Just take it, read it, believe it, and just talk to our Lord frequently. Help us to do it, Lord. There's many people out there that desire it around the world, but are not doing it. It's open to them as well. Help them, Lord. Help us to live the life that may encourage others to come and receive. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. We thank you for the services today. Bless the people that joined us on the internet. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. I have believed and am persuaded. Thank you.